and welcome to Opus on this Friday morning, and back in studio, refreshed and ready to go for the next concert is music director and conductor Ryan Haskins of the Sioux City Symphony Orchestra. Hello, maestro.
Hi, Gretchen.
And welcome.
Thank you.
Are you refreshed? And
yes.
Good.
Yes, of course. No, last month was fantastic. Really, I've been looking forward to that program for a while, and it really I thought did a lot of things, and I had a lot of wonderful and lovely comments, critical and not, about, you know, there's some edge to that program in the repertoire, especially that second concerto, and I got the response that I wanted, you know, which is conversation. That's the best part. We just recently are transitioning into selecting our composer of the year for our April program, and we just finished up phone interviews with three of the finalists, and that's one of the biggest parts of I think new music today, is the educational part, as you and I have talked about many times. And it was great, and that communication and that exposure to something new and different is always exciting, makes us tick, I think.
And I think it's important when you're dealing with art or music to stretch people a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I admire your ability to do that. Sometimes in working here at KWIT, we would get calls about people not really appreciating 21st century or 20th century music, but mm-hmm. it is part of the spectrum, and it's important to showcase new composers.
It really is, and it's, you know, as a musician who's studied many years in conservatory myself, that as a music student, someone who's studying for a career, that's something that obviously we talk about very early on through a variety of classes, and, you know, and on all of the music history courses and things that are offered here in town at the different colleges and universities also explore that. But we all, so I think we've not always been great about making sure that the audience is there with us. And the point that you make is important. You know, whether they know it or not, the people offering feedback actually are that, whether the comments are defined as good or bad, or however you think of them, the conversation is the best part, because I think it brings not only perspective to the audience member, but also the presenter too. You know, I never am confronted by someone who said, you know, why that was a waste of, they don't say it's a waste of time, but, you know, I just didn't enjoy that. Okay, well, why? And more often than not, the conversation that then takes place is really eye-opening for both of us. So it feeds me as a musician who presents that, and who has a stack of 60 or 70 or 80 new music scores that, you know, I'm waiting to present them in the right place and the right time. So that selection of that one piece here or there, and peppering it into the rest of the season, is really important process, and something that I'm proud Sioux City is known for now.
And it's exciting as a listener, Ryan, that I think about this often, that music, like so many other things, evolves, and it's continuing to evolve.
Yeah, it has to. You know, we can have 4,000 recordings of Beethoven 5, which are great, and they give us perspective, but why don't we translate that into music that's being written today? I mean, it's exciting today, music that's being written. It's sort of a time when we're trying to define what the history books will record for the future, and sort of adventurous to think what style, what composers, what techniques will represent us now. And we're in a time of exploring that, and the only way to explore that is to perform, and not just in the orchestral setting, but in chamber music and solo repertoire. And I think in a very interesting way, Sioux City in general, not just the Sioux City Symphony, but other organizations, art organizations, are exploring that. I think it's very interesting here in Sioux City. I'm always surprised at those venues of, not just music, but live performance or theater or art. You don't have to go too far until you find something different and new. It's the same thing I said at the concert. You go to an art museum and you walk through and, you don't just see painting after painting of a beautiful flower. You see sculptures and you see paintings and you see different pieces of art that represent different parts of our lives. And that's essentially how I think an orchestra should function, because it allows us to open up and think about everything else going on around us, or at least give us a new perspective. So it's an adventure for sure.
Well, we're well into the new season, and we're now looking at an interesting kind of departure from what we might expect at the symphony, but certainly a really wonderful program on Saturday night.
Yeah, this is really, really an interesting setup. We have have an amazing opportunity to work with one of the greatest historic improv troupes in our country, in North America, and that is the Second City. And of course, in Chicago and in Toronto, has over 50 years has been developing some of the great names in comedy. Again, another art form, right? I mean, it's a live performance, and whether we think of it as art or not, it really is. I mean, it's doing the same thing that we're doing. It's taking current events, it's taking, different ways of expressing ourselves and then transferring it to an audience that's waiting to hear and react. I mean, it's on a similar level, works hand in hand. We just don't think of it that way. But then you combine a full orchestra, music that's all based out of traditional works by Mahler and Mozart and Schubert and Bruckner. And so it's a really sort of eclectic, interesting, fun mix here tomorrow night, right? Saturday, yeah.
Well, you're too young to remember, but I grew up with Second City TV, and I remember John Candy. Mm-hmm. And I love the opening sequence with the TV falling from the apartment building, right, and crashing into a million pieces on the street. But yeah this Second City TV gave rise to so many careers for modern day comedians that now we see all the time in movies.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's we have six actors, comedians coming to the stage at the Orpheum for this presentation. The entire night is focused on the symphony, but in many different perspectives. It's all about sketch comedy, making fun of the stereotypes. I've been saying pretty frequently that nothing is off limits when it comes to this concert, from picking on the audience, picking on musicians, different types of instrument personalities that are associated with different instruments, to the ushers, to me. It goes everywhere and anywhere. And it's really, really well done. Their musical director, of course, Second City always has a very heavy presence on the music side. In fact, one of my first experiences with the Second City was in Toronto, and it's a little more intimidating because it's a smaller house and you're only there with your closest, maybe 40, maybe, friends. And you walk in knowing that you're probably going to be part of this show at some point, where they pull you up on stage or come out into the audience. And so it's this sort of environment that's, you don't know what to expect, and it's freaking hilarious. the writers for this program, this specific program, Guide to the Symphony, are just genius. And as I was mentioning, the music director, Matt Reed, who actually be with us on the piano, wrote these really hilarious sort of spoofs on Mozart Requiem and Beethoven 5 and Bruckner 8 and the Adagietto from Mahler, Fifth Symphony, Mahler's Fifth Symphony. I mean, it's just, it's going to be something very unique and something that in the end, when you get through the entire performance, it's going to be a really memorable experience and fantastic music, you know, with the symphony orchestra the entire time. So,
I like the element of interactive with the audience, and it's always interactive whenever you go to the symphony, but this is going to be really interactive.
Actual interactive. Yeah, absolutely right. And another part that's great about this concert is that we're bringing someone back to the stage, back to Sioux City, that we all know and love, who grew up here, Roger Anderson, who's East High grad, and is really a really great, 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 great person. And he was Doc for us in West Side Story and just gave such a powerful performance in that role, balancing all those crazy kids, dealing with so many complex life things going on at that time within West Side Story. He sort of was the moral of everything in that entire story, in that presentation. But he'll host. He's the host. And so he will sort of tie everything in and will give us an opportunity to see, I think, I don't know if he'll agree, but I think his true personality has no choice but to come out into this production. He's thrilled. He was a little put off when I first asked him. I said, Roger, I have a little task for you, because it's very extensive, the script. He's had to learn a lot and prepare a lot. And of course, we only have a very small amount of rehearsals together, with the cast and the orchestra and Roger. So it's a lot, as always, at the symphony, where we combine all of these elements, well-rehearsed elements, in very concentrated amounts of time, to produce what we hope will be a magnificent night.
I was thinking about the approach here. I really like this because I think a lot of people have this idea of music being very, you can't laugh about it. You can't, that Mozart, mm-hmm. Beethoven, very serious people. But in mm-hmm. fact, I mean, Mozart had a wicked sense of humor.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, we think about all these personalities, Mozart, Beethoven, Mahler. I mean, it's just that the thing is that obviously these people are, air quotes, gods to us for obvious reasons. But the thing that sometimes we forget about is that they were human. And I think that's something that we can enjoy. You know, the pressure of coming to a concert is, you know, knowing when to clap or when not to clap, and how you should be shunned if you clap at the wrong time, and all of this. And, you know, it's back in the day, people clapped whenever the heck they wanted to clap. And that was fine. You know, the concert experience over time is very interesting. In fact, maybe sometime we should sit down and look at that history, the evolution of what a concert actually was. Because, I mean, you know, there were times when people would go to a concert, but they never listened to one note of music. I mean, the music would be going on, but they'd be paying attention to more important things, like each other and who's walking in the hall and who can, you know, drink more drinks than the other. This is all in the concert hall or in the court, or, you know, I mean, music has in a concert setting really has an interesting history. You know, I think it's all important. And in this, it sort of, it actually in many ways goes back and looks at the past. There are some sort of historical reenactments going on in this production. I can't give away. I wish I could talk about all these things, but I can't ruin all of the crazy effects that are going to take place. But it's so much fun. Really well done. Perfect for someone who's obsessed, like the purists, my purists out there who, you know all of the details and information about the composers and the work. they need to be here because there are so many sort of hidden jokes about the actual repertoire and the composers. And if you're familiar with that, it'll be funny for you. It also will be really a lot of fun for a person who's never been before and has no background in classical music, because it's, again, so brilliantly written that it explores all of these sort of all of the genre of all of the personalities of our audience. I think that's probably why it's such a great show.
As you were putting this season together, I love to talk about the threads.
Mm.
Kind of what was your thought on bringing in Second City?
Well, I think a big thing for us is variety. And with such a concentrated season of, you know, pretty much a program every month, and to serve such a variety of audience members. You know, we think about, maybe we haven't talked about this for a while, but overall in the country, there's about 2% of our population in the U.S. that are classical music lovers. 2%, maybe. If you take that percentage and then copy it into our situation here in Siouxland, and then think about the people that come to our concerts, actually, we're doing quite well. you know, and to have a full house at the Orpheum is fantastic. And in some concert halls in the country where their max capacity is 1,700 or something, you know, we're doing great. So for me, the biggest challenge is the variety and this sort of stuffy nature. Even though I do love tradition and I respect it, and I think there's a duty on the presenter's part, on the musician's part, to present something authentic as possible, or at least explore ideas that I think the composer would have wanted. The interpretation aspect of music is interesting to me in that vein, but all of this comes together where we can offer an audience a variety of everything. And too often we don't. We take ourselves so seriously, especially in this world where we're trying to fight all of these stereotypes and, you know, what to wear, when to clap, how to act, you know, how to walk down the aisle. Or, you know, I mean, it's well, I'll keep the profanity for some other time, but I mean, it's just a load of, you know, whatever, because that's not what it's about. It's about being there, being a part of the live experience, and being open to something new and different, and something that changes you before you leave. And this program, just like our Debussy, or just like the Strauss in April, or just like the Rachmaninoff in March, does that. It's just in a different way.
As you're looking down to next month, I'm trying to wrap my head around this. December, you know, end of year, holidays. It's like December next month. can we talk a little bit about the holiday concert before we wrap up today?
Yeah, sure. December is always a great program. I always enjoy working that one out. Just again, more variety. I try not to ever repeat a year so that there's something always different. One major difference this year is that we're bringing back our great friend and Grammy Award-winning cellist Zul Bailey, who's going to be in town for a variety of different projects, thanks to our board president, Juliet Everest, and some very special people who stepped up and realized the importance of education and outreach. Regina Roth will be hosting an event as well. So it's going to be a wonderful celebration of music, music education, and music outreach. And part of that, his time here, will be being with us on Saturday night at the Christmas with the Symphony program. It's going to be special. I love the variety. I think back, we've talked about this before. I love thinking back to when I was a child, when I went to Severns Hall in Cleveland, heard the Cleveland Orchestra and their holiday programs. Those are very vivid in my head still. The older and older I get, I still remember them. And so I don't know if I actually designed them the same way, but I do remember that it was always something, I don't know, fresh and just puts you in the right mood. So I think it's a great opportunity to bring the family. I love that concert for that energy that we sort of feed off of and work through the entire evening. So it's a great night.
And what is the date of that?
That's December 15th.
All right.
15th.
All right. Yeah. And that one is wildly popular.
Yeah.
So we would encourage people, if they're thinking ahead, maybe to get that ticket purchased early.
Yeah, and it's great. You know, the ticket concept is always great for gifts, and if you're one of those persons, which I am not, and you prepare your gifts months and months in advance, you know, you could definitely do that. Although we don't have months and months before we get there, I suppose. But yeah, it's hard to believe we're almost halfway through. The first half was exciting. The second half of the year is going to be thrilling. Some incredible projects that I'm wildly overwhelmed with and thrilled about presenting, because there's so much involved, particularly in the February program, as we literally walk through Mozart's life through music in that short amount of time that we have together in February. It's going to be something I've been dreaming about for a long time, and I'm so happy to finally be able to arrive at it and have that experience, not only with the orchestra, but with the audience as well. So it's looking forward already to, and we're planning next season too. So, I mean, I can't tell you anything about that yet, but it's one of the best parts of what I get to do is think about programming and explore all these wonderful things with this great community.
One word. Genius.
Well, you're too kind.
Well, you do such a wonderful job, and we're going to get back to talking about a program Saturday night, Second City, and I know you can't divulge a lot of the surprises and secrets in store, but how is this, I'm curious about how it's formatted. Will we be hearing actual pieces in the program, or little bits and pieces, or how are you going to work that out?
Well, we've talked about the talent ability of, or a level of these actors, you know, these comedians. They're not only, you know, have the wonderful gift of comedic timing and all of that, but they're also amazing performers and sing. And so there's a lot of singing and a lot of text. So, you know, you'll hear some original tunes that have been written by Matthew Reed, who will be with us, and songs about how the symphony is reflected in life, and how you, through symphonic music, can forget about your mortgages or you know, the traffic jam down the street, or the lovely person that you just despise at work, you know, those kinds of things, every day sort of, it really brings it to sort of this human level to where you can identify. I mean, honestly, it's going to be very hard for me not to laugh during this program from the podium. I've, even though I've studied the script, and because I myself have lines, you know, I'm also involved quite heavily in the actual production, not just conducting. It's gonna be a lot of fun, and but yeah, the coordination of the music and the script, and so you see a couple on their first time that they've been to the symphony, you experience that firsthand. You'll see a lineup of the stereotypical different types of the audience member. I can't tell, you know, you know, because you've been there, you've sat next to these different types of people, so it's not what you expect. And that's the very reason why people need to come to this and bring people that have never been. We do have to say that it is PG-13, so it's quite adult. I will say that. But in, I think, a tasteful way. But it is adult, and it's just going to be a great, great night.
We've been talking about stretching the audience, and I have to believe, just with this season, Ryan, how you are stretching your orchestra members and how much they're learning.
Yeah, you know, we've talked about the reaction of the community. One of my favorite things is to, after a performance weekend, go out and, you know, have people come up to me and tell me, you know, oh, I was there and I heard this and I loved it. Or my favorite story is after that Mozart Requiem and Charles Ives concert that I did early on, you know, I expected everyone to be down about the Ives and complaining. Well, everyone came up to me about the Ives, but they were all raving about it and talking about it out in the public. And so I love that interaction. The thing we don't talk about a lot is the musicians' interaction, which is also really important. You know, every year, almost every year, I make a request to the musicians as I'm programming the next season for repertoire suggestions. And that could be, you know, some musicians give me a list of 37 different pieces they'd like to see, or one that they've never performed before and they want to, sort of a bucket list kind of concept. I really like getting those requests because, again, it opens me up a little, gives me a little more perspective as well to see where we are. I don't like to repeat works very often. I also like to provide variety even within the region with even other orchestras. I actually look at repertoire of other orchestras and make sure that we're keeping it different and not repeating, you know, if an orchestra down the road did Brahms 4 a year ago, I'm not going to do it the next year. It's this, I'm always juggling all of those aspects. But the interaction with the musicians, their expansion of repertoire, and also on the new music side as well, you know, when we bring in a new composer, a young composer, that's interesting for us because what the audience doesn't see is us working through that work. And it's not, you know, you can't just rehearse at home, come to rehearsal, sit down, play, and we go home and do that a couple times and have the concert. It actually involves some work, and some composers a lot of work, because in a few cases this could be a very, you know, maybe they've only written once or twice for orchestra, and so even though they may be insanely talented as a composer, there are basics in orchestration and limitations within instruments that are passed on from our musicians to the composer. And at that second, we take our pencils out and rewrite the part and scribble it out. And then by Saturday night, it is what it is. But that process is really important when we bring our composers of the year to town. And so it requires an extra level of patience for the musicians because usually in a heartbeat, they can look at a piece, you know, 200, 400, 600 bars long, and within seconds tell you, well, that's not going to work. This isn't going to work. This is too hard. I can't even play that note, you know. And so that's a really interesting transferring of information. And it's another exciting part of what we do here.
Oh, that's fascinating to hear that.
Mm-hmm.
Goodness.
Yeah.
We are about out of time, Ryan. Mm-hmm. Again, deliver the particulars of Saturday's concert.
Saturday, no pre-concert talk. We'll just dive right in. Saturday night at 7:30 p.m. at the Orpheum with the Second City's Guide to the Symphony, Guide to the Orchestra, with host Roger Anderson and six amazing comedians. It will be, hopefully your face will be hurting by the end, in a good way. Your face will be hurting by the end of this night. It's going to be a real joy to perform. And something people, I think, are going to be talking about for a while.
Ryan Haskins, music director and conductor of the Sioux City Symphony Orchestra. Always a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Gretchen.
We're continuing with the second part of Opus and a conversation today with Ellen Osborne, who is a graduate student at the University of South Dakota. She will also be appearing in the production of Hansel and Gretel. at the University of South Dakota this Saturday and Sunday. First of all, Ellen, welcome back to the studios of Siouxland Public Media.
Thank you, Gretchen. It's great to be here.
Last we talked, you were busy. You were about to head to the University of South Dakota for your graduate work. How is that going? And are you finding yourself very busy these days?
Definitely, yes. I'm very busy. Yes, I'm working on a master's degree in vocal performance, and it's very busy. I'm doing some teaching as well as my own studies and working on this opera and also trying to still manage a family at the same time and keep my sanity. But it's fun. It's a lot of fun. I'm really excited about being there and working on singing, that I love.
And we're going to talk about Hansel and Gretel, which is the opera by Engelbert Humperdinck and a great holiday favorite and a classic. How is the rehearsals going, and kind of give us an overall perspective of the production?
Great. The rehearsals are going really well. We, like I said, the performances, or like you said, the performances are this weekend, Saturday night and Sunday afternoon up in Vermilion. And we've been working on the show since the semester started, really, so in September. And it's going well. We've done some outreach performances, which we can talk about a little bit. It's a relatively small cast. There are 6 or 7, I would have to count, members. And it's just a wonderful show with beautiful music and a fun story and fun characters. And it's going to be great.
Now, in terms of the staging, is it going to be what we would expect Hansel and Gretel to be in that original setting? Or is it going to be a little bit different?
Well, it's a little bit of a minimalist kind of dark German style. At the beginning of the opera, everything is in blacks and grays. I play the mother, and the father and I begin the show in blacks and grays, and we're sad and we're depressed because we don't have any food for our kids. And then things get a little bit more colorful as these fairy tale creatures start showing up, and of course then the gingerbread house and the magic that goes along with that, and things get a little more colorful. But we have these really cool sets that are big screens, and our director, Dr. Nicholas Provenzale, his father actually created the backdrops for the show. They're all black and white, and they're really cool, and he does a lot of carving, and so he carved part of them, and it's really cool, really neat.
And you mentioned before we started recording that the witch is actually portrayed by a male,
yes,
guy,
yes,
yeah,
yes, and that's really fun. We have two different casts for the two different performances, and both of the performers playing the witch are men, and one of them is actually a countertenor, which is very rare to find anymore. So he's a man who sings in the female soprano range. I mean, I heard him singing the first time, and I thought it was a woman, and then I saw him come out of the practice room, and it's like, oh, hi, Garrett. You know? So he's amazing what he can do. And then, yeah, and then our other witch is also a guy, but he sings in the normal tenor range. But he does some really fun things. He's got a lot of musical theater background. So, yeah, it's a great fun cast. Hansel, the boy, is actually played by a girl, by Caitlin Pearson, who is another grad student up there at USD. And she's fantastic to watch. A ton of energy, and she's just really fun. She and Gretel just have a lot of fun hamming it up on the stage. They're really, really fun to watch.
Why don't we break away and hear a little bit of music? Do you want to talk a little bit about what we're going to hear next?
Sure. We're going to hear... So Hansel and Gretel are... To begin the opera, the mother and father are away trying to get money because everyone is is poor. They don't have any food. So the father and mother are trying to sell broomsticks that they make. That's what the family does. They make and sell broomsticks. So Hansel and Gretel are home alone, and Hansel is supposed to be working on a broom, and Gretel is supposed to be knitting socks, and neither one of them want to work. So they're saying, oh, instead of doing our work, let's dance. So this is Brother Come and Dance With Me, and they do a little dance. And this is a song that may be familiar to some of you.
Brüderchen, komm, tanz mit mir, beide Händchen reich ich dir. Einmal her, rundherum, es ist nicht schwer. Tanzen soll ich aber nicht, Schwesterchen, und kann es nicht. Warum zeig mir, wie es braucht, dass ich tanze lerne auch. Mit den Füßchen tap, 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 mit den Händchen klapp, klapp, klapp. Einmal her, rundherum, es ist nicht schwer. Mit den Füßchen tap, 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 mit den Händchen klapp, klapp, klapp. Einmal her, rundherum. Seht mir doch den Hänsel an, wie der tanzen lernen kann. Mit dem Köpfchen, nick, 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 mit dem Fingerchen, nick, nick, nick. Einmal her, rundherum, es ist nicht schwer. Mit dem Köpfchen, nick, 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 mit dem Fingerchen, tick, tick, tick. Einmal her, rundherum. Was die Gretel weitermacht, lass uns Arm in Arm verschränken, unsere Schrittchen paarweis lenken.
Music from Hansel and Gretel. If you're just joining us on Opus today, our guest is Alan Osborne, who will be appearing in the production of Hansel and Gretel this Saturday and Sunday at the Colton Recital Hall in the Fine Arts Building on the campus of the University of South Dakota. And what was that piece we just heard?
That was a dance. Hansel and Gretel were procrastinating doing their work, and so they decided to do dancing there. And this recording is actually the first recording that was ever made of this opera, made in 1953. And it has Elizabeth Grimmer as Hansel and Elizabeth Schwarzkopf as Gretel. So kind of neat that that's the very first recording ever made. And I will note that the music we're hearing today is in German. Our performance up at USD is actually going to be in English, and we are also going to have super titles projected, so you'll be able to see and read what we're singing, as well as it also being in English. So it should be fairly easy to understand, as sometimes operas aren't that easy to understand what the singers are saying. But
and this is such a holiday classic and such a great favorite. And I'm thinking, what a perfect way to introduce a child to the magic of opera.
Absolutely. It's a story that a lot of children are familiar with. And we've done some outreach and are doing some more. Last Saturday, we presented the opera at the public library up in Sioux Falls for a group of children and adults up there, and that they really liked it. And then Monday of this week, we performed at Morningside Elementary for, gosh, a couple hundred kids in the gym. And it was so fun to do it for children, because they laughed and they reacted and they really had a lot of fun. And we had a chance for them to ask some questions at the end, and they just had wonderful questions like, how do you sing like that? And why is a boy dressed up as the witch? And why is a girl playing Hansel? But it's really fun to perform it for children. We also performed at the Boys and Girls Club on Monday. And that was that too. The kids just, they loved it. They just ate it up. And it was really, really fun.
I think children, they can suspend their disbelief. You can't do that so much for an adult. But yeah,
right.
They're such an honest audience, and they get it.
Yes.
They get it, yeah.
Yes. And they had some really great questions, like, what about the breadcrumb part? Because in the original story, Hansel leaves a trail of breadcrumbs, but that was cut out of this opera. And so this one student, well, what about the breadcrumbs? So it's, yeah, kids don't miss anything. They're great.
And is this your first Hansel and Gretel?
Yes. This is my first time performing in this show. I love the music. I've always loved the music, especially this next one we're going to hear, which is the evening prayer. It's just beautiful music. All of the music is really beautiful. It's that late romantic, really lush. We're performing it with the piano, but the orchestra is just so beautiful in this show, and our pianist Hannah does a wonderful job of portraying that through the piano, and yeah, the music is just, it's beautiful.
And in this particular piece of music, what's happening?
So that last part we heard was the dancing part. Well, shortly right after that ends, the mother comes in and gets mad because the kids are goofing around and they're not doing their work. So in her anger, she sends them out to go look for strawberries in the woods. And the mother, our and my interpretation of it is that the mother doesn't understand about the dangers that are out in the forest. So she gets mad. She says, just go outside and pick strawberries. And so they go outside and then they get lost. And so they're in the woods and they're lost. And the Sandman has just come and sprinkled sand on them to help them fall asleep. So they are getting tired and they're getting ready to lay down and go to sleep in the forest. And before they do that, they say, well, we better say our evening prayer. So this piece is their prayer as they are getting ready to go to sleep.
Zu meiner Leib der
the beautiful children's prayer from Hansel and Gretel. We've been listening to that particular piece. And in studio, providing insight and commentary, is Ellen Osborne, soprano, who will be appearing as the mother in that production. Arguably, maybe the best ever, or at least top 10 duets of all
yes.
time. You would agree,
oh,
I'm
yes.
sure. Yeah.
Beautiful.
Breathtaking.
Mm-hmm. Love it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So moving on.
So Hansel and Gretel go to sleep and they spend the night in the forest. And then the Dew Fairy comes and wakes them up. And then they spend a little time in the forest. There's a really cute little scene with a cuckoo bird where they are kind of echoing back and forth with this little cuckoo bird. And then they stumble upon this magic gingerbread house with candy, and they are starving. So to see this house made of gingerbread and candy is really exciting. And so they decide to just help themselves and take a little nibble on the house. And to their surprise, there is someone in the house. And that someone is the witch.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Now, would you say, as an adult, is this kind of a frightening part for... A witch is always kind of scary. And we've talked about The Wizard of Oz and some of the other things, but...
It can be scary. I was a little concerned when we first started working on the show that this part might really freak kids out. But seeing the reactions, kids, I think as an adult, the whole concept, spoiler alert, the witch ends up in the oven. And I think at first that to me, I was like, oh my gosh, you know, I don't know what kids are going to think of this. You know, this witch is cooking children in the oven. And then eventually she ends up in the oven. And I thought, oh, gosh, this is really kind of dark and scary. But the kids, they just love it and they laugh. And I don't know, kids just are kids and they don't. Maybe it's just so crazy to them that it doesn't seem that scary. But, yeah, it's the witch is really cool, really spooky and creepy, but in a cool way. I don't know.
Oh, if we had another hour, we could talk about German and Slavic, European fairy tales are pretty scary if you actually read them. And
they
I was thinking of Dvorak's The Water Goblin, and you know some of those pieces of music that that draw inspiration from fairy tales. And yeah, they are kind of scary.
And. Actually, I went back and preparing for this role, I read the original Grimm fairy tale of Hansel and Gretel. And in that show, the mother is really not a very nice person. And she actually purposely sends the children out to the woods, purposely wanting them to get lost because they're all starving. And if we're all going to starve and die, maybe we should just ditch the kids so that we don't all die, you know, maybe we can save ourselves by just letting our kids out in the forest. Anyway, so it was really dark. So this version, thankfully, the mother is a sympathetic character. She's not, basically in the original, the mother and the witch were like equally evil. But in this one, the mother is thankfully a nicer character for me, for my sake.
It makes for an interesting story. And,
it is
a wonderful story. Well, let's listen to the next piece of music. Do you want to introduce that?
Sure. So this is right when Hansel and Gretel have found the gingerbread house and they're chewing on it. And all of a sudden they hear this voice, and the translation of what it starts with is nibble, nibble, mousey, who's nibbling on my housey. And that's the voice of the witch.
Der Wind, das Hirn.
End the program today. Sadly, I must say, it's gone very quickly this half hour. We want to say thank you to you, Alan, and wish you the very best as you continue your graduate studies at the University of South Dakota. And I imagine we'll be having you back, as you probably will be appearing and performing in other productions at the university.
That would be wonderful. I love coming here and talking with you anytime.
Well, we enjoy having you very much as well. So if people have questions about the opera this weekend, who can they call?
Well, good question. You can, USD Opera Theater is on Facebook. If you just search USD Opera, you could find it there. I don't have a phone number with me, unfortunately. You could call me, I guess. I don't know.
It's at Colton Recital Hall,
Colton Recital Hall.
They have a box office, and you can leave a message and get a call back, or maybe
yes.
You can get your
or you can you can call the Fine Arts Building or the Music Department. Lori is the person there who could give you more information. I'm just looking to see if I have her phone number here.
Or you can get a ticket at the door.
Yes, you can get a ticket easily at the door. No problem.
And we're going to go out with the conclusion of Hansel and Gretel. And this is, what are we calling this, reunion?
This is the finale. And real quick, I did find a phone number.
Yay!
So Lori Brown is the secretary for the USD Department of Music, and you could call her at 605-658-3466 if you have any questions, or you can just get a ticket at the door. So this last selection we're going to hear is the finale. So the father and mother have found the children. The witch has burned up in the oven, and everyone's happy.
This is Gretchen Gondek, your host for Opus. Thank you for tuning in. This is Siouxland Public Media, KWIT Sioux City 90.3, and KOJI Okoboji 90.7, broadcasting from the campus of Western Iowa Tech Community College.